Jerry and Blitzen, Sleazy and something and
Donner.
Donner.
Interesting. Of all the creative names that we see out there, like Stockton Malone Shorts.
Rudolph Butker.
Why is it that we don't see many kids named after those reindeer?
Like, because that would be ridiculous.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, hey, Donner, come here. Well, Donner, it's come a Donner on. Party. That's crazy. Donner's out.
I'm just thinking.
Blitzen, you're naming your kid Blitzen?
Bro,
pass.
Linebacker. No. Stop.
Vixen?
Stop. Linebacker for McNeese State, top draft pick, Blitzen St. James.
Blitzen Butker.
Would be amazing. If you were an NFL player named Blitzen and you were a defender.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
We're pretty much tip defenses off to what you're going to do, though.
Donner Johnson.
Donner. No.
Running back.
No. Donner.
Let's see. What is it? Donner Blitzen.
Hey, every time he has a birthday party, you can call it the Donner Party.
What are they? Donner. What the hell are the reindeer names?
Dasher.
Come on. These are perfect
names. Dasher's pretty cool.
Come on.
Dancer.
Okay, maybe a little over.
Dancer?
Maybe a little over the top of Dancer.
Prancer? Dancer and Prancer. Prancer's a cornerback.
Prancer Bartholomew, quarterback, Harvard. Dude.
I think Prancer Fitzpatrick is playing defensive back at Clemson.
Prancer Fitzpatrick, I think that's a fine name. Yeah, you probably couldn't do Vixen. Oh, God. Comet.
Please, give it to me.
Trying to think of a last name here. Comet Washington.
Kermit Washington.
Kermit Washington. That's why I did that. Comet Bowman, wide receiver, Florida Atlantic.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Florida Atlantic.
Oh, and Cupid, please. Like, there's not enough Romeos.
Speaking of Florida Atlantic, they beat SMU 112-0 in their bowl game.
They did.
Not literally.
They did.
But Lane Kiffin signs a 10-year contract. With them.
Sure.
With FAU.
Which he'll totally coach the entire 10 years.
I am all in favor of FAU being that non-Power 5 school that loses one game a year and just wrecks bowl season for everybody. And they just like, there's definitely some violations going on, but it's just like a terribly kept secret that Lane Kiffin pays his players and he openly just smokes and drinks with his players, but nobody really says anything because it's just FAU and crazy old Lane.
It's Lane Kiffin.
I'm so in for a rogue FAU Owls program.
Isn't FAU the school, or is it Central Florida? One of those Florida schools, the smaller Florida schools, installed a wave pool. Not the wave. What's the pool that's like?
Lazy River.
Lazy River. There's a Lazy River in their area where the kids play. 44-11-40. Oh, that's right. Stockton Malone Shorts. We were asking what the King's equivalent would be. The Santa equivalent from 209. Donner Santa Sack. That would be a fine name. Blitzen Butts, linebacker, Wisconsin. You're damn right. I mean, when you have a guy, one of the rookie Pro Bowlers, and his name is Buda Baker, that's fantastic. You knew going in, we talked about this, I told you Buda Baker would be good because his name is Buda Baker, not because he's good.
You didn't tell me that.
We talked about it during before the season started. I went off on a big Buda Baker rant about how Buda Baker, that is a name you know is going to be good.
I don't remember that, but okay. There's a special teamer. Let's relax.
I was wrong on Bakari Rambo. I was wrong on him. I thought that was for sure.
Barkevious Mingo.
Oh, Barkevious Mingo, dude. And they came out the same year, by the way. Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a playoff new year. Thank you, Dave, for being a big part of my morning. I appreciate you guys. And I was wondering, I feel that Zach Randolph has the motivation to take us to the playoffs. Now, I know it's a pipe dream, but I like the way that he said it the other day, and I was wondering about your thoughts.
Here's the thing about, can I say something about this?
That's a strong take by Tim.
And thank you, Tim, for the kind words, and I love you as much, if not more, and thank you all for listening so much. We'll do that stuff in a second, but thank you, Tim. And yes, I'll get to the Florida Panther calls, but since he brought up Zach Randolph, can I just say, I thought, Am I the only one that took that Zach Randolph, when he said, I think this guy's going to make the playoffs? I thought he was talking about the Sixers. No, I'm serious. Everyone thought he was talking about the Kings. Am I the only one that took that as...
Yes. Really? I thought he was talking about the Kings.
I swear to God, I took that as he was talking about the Sixers. He was referring to the Sixers making the playoffs. Which makes sense. This was after the last game, right? Not Brooklyn. This was after Philadelphia, correct? Yeah, of course. Let me see. Here's Zach Randolph post game with Katie. I think this is where he said it. I took that as he was saying, this is going to be a playoff team this year or next year, talking about how big of a win it was because it was the Philadelphia 76ers. And I get that he just complimented his own team. I'd really like to ask him a follow-up on that. But then what's he going to say? No, hell no, I wasn't talking about us. Here it is again. So it was a good game because this was a playoff team this year or next year. You can't see that possibly being about the Sixers. I'm just off. That's fine. You can't see that?
I can see that. I just don't want to have to agree with you. I think that's definitely what he meant.
Also, real quick, because we have a long segment here. We'll sandwich in the Florida Panthers stuff with
nice.
This. I may have to either quit Twitter or just rethink my tweeting in general. It's been a long couple of weeks with the MLS stuff, and I have to be very careful with emojis and hidden messages and all that from the whole King's Fee situation when I do the smiley faces. But it's starting to get a little bit ridiculous when sometimes I'll say something, and I think it is completely benign. And last night it set off this mini uproar on King's Twitter. I was reading an article about Bobby Hurley, who's now the coach at Arizona State.
Okay.
Bobby Hurley, draft pick of the Sacramento Kings, played for Duke. Obviously, crazy tragic car accident that cut his career way, way short. And he is having some pretty damn good success as a college coach. He's young. He comes from great coaching stock. His father, one of the greatest high school coaches of all time. And I tweeted last night, I said, prediction. Someday Bobby Hurley is going to coach the Sacramento Kings, which I think would be an amazing story, dude. He rises up through the ranks, does what he does. He's a good young coach. And then for him to be able to come back to Sacramento where he couldn't do it as a player for obvious and very tragic reasons, but he comes back as a coach decades later, hopefully, leads the team to success. So I said, prediction, someday he'll coach the Sacramento Kings. Dude, are you saying Yeager's getting fired? Oh, are you finally coming around on Dave Yeager getting fired? Oh, shots fired at Dave Yeager. Bobby Hurley. I logged off of Twitter to watch the damn Christmas Vacation movie. I get back on. I've got like 50 mentions of people wondering why I'm going in on Dave Yeager or saying, finally, you've come around and you're not into, you know, like I'm going after Dave Yeager. And I don't know how much more ambiguous I can make that. Listen, I love Dave Yeager. I say it almost every day. But I don't think he's going to coach the team for 30 years. I will say this. I think I can safely say that a day will come when Dave Yeager does not coach the Sacramento Kings. I don't think I'm going out on a limb.
It's very rare that a coach sticks around. You know, you get a Greg Popovich type.
Sure.
Even Phil Jackson left the Bulls. I mean.
Yes.
So I don't think you need to change your tweeting. I think you need to utilize the mute button.
I can't do that.
If you send off a tweet that people are taking the wrong way, you can mute this conversation where you don't get notifications just from that tweet.
Well, I don't get I don't get like notifications.
No, in your mentions.
Yeah, I got you. You're a muter?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
I can't do it.
It depends on the mood I'm in, but if somebody comes at me sideways for like no reason, especially when I just say something like something real, nothing even relevant or important. But if somebody comes at me and you're swearing at me and stuff, you just get muted. Like if that's going to be your reaction to a mundane tweet, like you don't get to talk to me anymore.
Why do you mute instead of block?
Because I don't want to give people a satisfaction. Like when someone's muted, they're just yelling into the abyss. Like they're tweeting at me and it doesn't matter.
I'm too narcissistic because then I wonder what they're saying.
See, and that's what. So that's just terrible. It. So it's not your tweeting style. It's you.
It's totally me. Way too obsessed. And here's the other thing. I don't mute. I do block, but it takes so much for me to block somebody. Like, they have to be 100% abusive and nothing credible whatsoever, just constant abuse. I'll block them, but I'll always give them a warning, too.
If don't worry. And I always check the profile. If it's somebody that tweets a lot, they got a bunch of followers, and their tweets are pretty normal, I'll give them a chance. Maybe they're having a bad day or whatever. But if you have 3 followers and every single one of your tweets is you just yelling at people on the internet, like, you're just going to get blocked.
Yeah,
like,
you're not bringing anything here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if...
Or if you like say something about my family or something like that, you just get blocked automatically. That's an auto-block.
And one of my least favorite things on Twitter is when you do block somebody. And then I always go back to see if once they figure out they were blocked, I'll read their tweets. Because I'm curious to see what they say when they know I've blocked them. Or when I see somebody else block somebody. And they always say, and they'll post a screenshot and be like, couldn't take the heat. Or Snowflake needed a safe space.
And that... Here's my thing is I don't block to try and be like, yeah, I
sure.
It's just like I don't want to deal with that person anymore.
You're not bringing anything to the table.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me thinking my tweets are better. My tweets suck. But it's just I don't.
Why do people feel like they got to you if you block them, like they won? Why don't they ever go, man,
I'm a real jerk.
I'm a jerk.
Yeah. Like, because that's the way they get a rise.
Or when somebody says stop tweeting about something, it's like, dude, you're opting into my Twitter feed. Why are you suggesting what I tweet or don't tweet about? You're opting into this free informational feed of mine. That's like going to a party and complaining about the free beer.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
And if I say a dumb thing, like if I say something and somebody corrects me and
sure.
like, you're stupid, this is it's like, oh, you're right. And I will acknowledge that all day. But if I say, man, Jimmy Garoppolo played really well today, and somebody says, kill yourself.
Sure.
Like, you just don't, that's.
Somebody brought it up on Twitter. This is something I dealt with last summer. This is a fun 12 hours for me. It was the summer before, right? The Summer Olympics were the year before last, correct?
Yeah.
So Leslie Jones, you know that comedian from SNL?
Sure.
So Leslie Jones was doing Olympic stuff.
Yep.
And she was doing a ton
of... No, it was 2016.
It was the last Summer Olympics.
Yes.
Yes. So that was the summer before this last summer we just got finished with. Because the Winter Olympics are next month. That's why it's every 2 years. And so she was doing a bunch of... She was saying, hey, no, Kyle, get away from the text line. Kyle's now engaging on the text line. I want to talk to you about this. You're not listening.
I'm listening.
No, you're not. Okay. So Leslie Jones is appearing, like, doing all these skits during the Olympics. And I didn't think they were good. And I didn't think they were funny at all. So I tweeted at one point, I said something like, I like Leslie Jones normally, or no, I even put a disclaimer, like, no offense to Leslie Jones, or something like that. But is there a channel that doesn't have Leslie Jones skits on it? I kind of just want to watch the Olympics. And I already don't like all the human interest stuff they do anyways. I just want to watch the damn sports. I didn't tag her in it. I didn't name her in it. I wasn't trying to throw shade. I was simply saying I don't like her skits and making a semi-snarky comment about, hey, is there a channel that doesn't have these skits on it? Dude, for like a day, I got killed. She picks up the tweet, and she starts tweeting me back. Just like, nobody says you have to watch. You know, why would you come after me like this? No, nobody's forcing you to do this while you sit. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't come after you. I didn't tag you. You got a great career. I'm a dumb radio guy in Sacramento. I don't like your skits. And then I got this because I guess, and this I actually didn't know, Leslie Jones was going through a ton of abuse for Ghostbusters, a lot of it racial.
Right.
And also gender specific. And I remember, and then I got all the Leslie Hive coming at me like, dude, you're racist. And, you know, what, a woman can't talk on the. And my point was, I treated Leslie Jones like I would treat Al Michaels or Bob Costas or anybody else. If you're an announcer and I don't like your style and I say something, I think I'm okay to say that. I'm allowed, just like if somebody doesn't like my show, I will never block anybody for saying they don't like my show or they disagree with the time. Never, ever. I generally want to talk it over with them. Yeah. Why do you feel that way? Because a lot of times that either A, they're just being abusive, or B, it helps me learn. It helps me see their perspective. But she came after me so hard, and it's impossible to go back and forth. And I said, Leslie, you know, I apologize to me. I said, dude, listen. Or no, wait, I'm sorry. I didn't apologize, and I made a point of it. I said, I'm not going to apologize for putting you on the same pedestal that I would put any other announcer or actor or anyone else. I'm not going to give you special privileges for race, for gender, for anything. You're somebody who's participating in a broadcast. I offered my opinion on the broadcast. And we started to have like what I thought was a nice back and forth. And I said, listen, I know you're not going to slum down, but anytime you want to come on the show someday when you have a down moment, I'd be happy to explain myself. Try to make it a good thing. And psst, blocked. It blocked. I was, okay. I mean, okay. But as far as like talking crap and stuff, I'm fine with that. I think that's fully okay on Twitter. Just don't be abusive. I have 90% of my tweets are going back and forth with people. As long as it's good natured, as long as it's funny. And if it's just a straight disagreement, I will never block, never ever block somebody for disagreeing with me.
And if somebody has a good burn for me, I'm in.
Yes, of course.
Like someone drops a great like diss.
That's great.
I'm dude.
I'm a self-deprecating dude.
Same.
Kind of have to be.
Yes.
If you come in with a great burn, I mean, dude, every time I get all those photographs pop up of me stuffing my fat face into a ball game, I'll retweet every single one with like a mock comment like, this is enough. Stop. My lawyers will call you. Dave, comparing his tweets to free beer is the worst take this year. My point is you're opting.
You're choosing
to follow it.
Right.
Don't follow somebody on Twitter or Facebook or wherever. And then it's like watching their show and then complaining about the content. Just don't watch.
Yeah, there's an off button on the radio.
Florida Panthers play-by-play voice. Randy Muller, I do this once a year. Got together the Dan Lebatard show, and I usually mess up some of this story. And what they would do is he would come on for his weekly segment, and listeners would want him to, would give him a list of references from movies, like classic lines from movies that they'd want him to try to include in his goal calls. And this turned into a thing. He'd get a bunch and he'd pick a few. Jim Cosmore used to do this on occasion when he filled in doing play-by-play for the Kings. Here's an example. Here's an example for you, Kyle. You've never heard this before, of some of Randy Muller's famous goal calls. If you get a chance, go to YouTube. Like I said, I play these once a year. Go to Randy Muller. Randy Muller hockey calls. I can go down that rabbit hole all day long. All right, let's get into the Kings next. Kings on a big two-game winning streak and just out of the eighth playoff spot. You can take that however you want. We'll talk about that last night's game. And now they come home. Also, I'll let you know my favorite injury of the year, a torn butt. And, Kyle, you'll never guess
how... Torn Butker?
Nope, just torn butt. I'll let you know who that was. And you're never going to guess how much in cash the Lakers sold in Kobe Bryant jerseys.
$4 billion.
Well, you're close, not real.
Yes.
We'll tell you next in the drive in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. Programming note. I'll do this once a day so people don't yell. We will be off Monday, Tuesday of next week. All shows, I believe, will be off Monday, Tuesday next week for the Christmas holiday. Back at it Wednesday. And I will be here. I'll be working both weeks. I'll be working Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. And I think Tuesday through Friday of the following week. So I'll be bitching about my time off. Get off of me. I'm working. Kyle, are you working? You working both weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. We have Kings trivia here in just a second. I still have not thought of the trivia question, but we do also have breaking news as well. Let's get to it. Nope, that's not it. Let's get to it. That was a Law and Order theme. The MLS has released a statement on the newest expansion teams. I will read it as it was stated. Following the announcement of Nashville as our newest club yesterday, Major League Soccer remains in discussions with the other three finalists for the next team to be awarded during this round of expansion, Cincinnati, Detroit, and Sacramento. All three submitted impressive bids, which the league will take additional time to review before announcing a final decision in the new year. That is purposely ambiguous, in my opinion. In the new year could be at any time. Here's how I read it. As freaking frustrating as it is, the bid's still alive. It's still there. We're still in. Until they say no, if they ever do say no, I'm going to be completely optimistic and hopeful. What do I think it is? I think it's going to come down to a race between Sacramento and Cincinnati. And I believe Sacramento has the edge. I can tell you that the entire Sacramento Republic team, I'm not talking about the players, you know, ownership and all that. I think the players are on vacation. They have been locked down for the last, ever since they got back from New York, and been very quiet. They will be having a press conference. That will be Kevin Nagel and Mayor Daryl Steinberg at 10 a.m. today. That's in about an hour and a half down at City Hall, to kind of update where everything is right now and where it is going. So there you go. 339-1140, get in line right now. By the time you guys all get in, I will have the trivia question figured out. And we will give the winner a pair of tickets to see the Kings play the San Antonio Spurs December 23rd. That's this weekend. What a great game to go to. More info at khtk.com. As we get into the Kings, maybe my favorite Kings text of the day. Kyle, you'll want in on this question. Is it just me or is Dave Yeager the sexiest coach in the league with a poor man's Brad Pitt look? I tend to agree with that. We already talked about it. Dave Yeager lost a ton of weight looking good, but I will say this, and I noticed this in the game. He came into the year clean-shaven, nice hairdo, and very slim. And I said, the thing I worry about is as the season goes on and there's more and more road trips, we might see that begin to change a little bit. Well, I have not noticed a gain in weight, though I'm not looking closely. I have noticed that the facial hair is beginning to come back. It's starting to creep in a little bit. But we also know that Dave Yeager can, grow a beard in about 3 hours. Kings win last night. Kings win back-to-back night road games, Philadelphia and Brooklyn. Perhaps the two most impressive wins of the year, only if you consider, and yes, they've beaten other big teams, don't get me wrong, but you're at the tail end of a road trip. You do not have De'Aaron Fox, which is a whole different topic right there, that they won both games pretty much without De'Aaron Fox. But you're at the tail end of a four-game East Coast mostly road trip. And this is the tough one. It's wintertime. It's snowy. It's cold. Not that they're playing outdoors, but you're going to Toronto. You're going to New York. You're going to Philadelphia, and you mix in Minnesota in there. That's just a miserable road trip to do in late December. And end of the road trip, you're tired. You're worn out. And they go into Philadelphia and beat a good Philadelphia team that is obviously struggling right now. And then they turn around the very next night, the final game of the road trip, and they take out Brooklyn. And the game should not have been as close as it was. The final score tells you they won 104-99. The Kings dominated. They absolutely dominated most of this game, shooting in the 70s and 80% for much of the game. Now, of course, they come home to take on the San Antonio Spurs. And that's all but a guaranteed loss for two reasons. A, it's the Spurs and they own the Kings. B, the first game back from a road trip is almost always a stinker. But George Hill was fantastic last night. And so was Zach Randolph. Congratulations to him for getting his, was that me? I thought you were just playing music. For getting his 10,000th rebound. The Kings currently, Kyle, just for the hell of it, the Kings are currently four games out of the eight seed. Wouldn't it be great? The eight seed is the New Orleans Pelicans. Wouldn't that be great if that's who they were fighting with?
That could be legendary.
And I also think it's important to note, too, They're 11-20. They are 5-7 at home. They are 6-13 on the road. Simple math will tell you that they have played 12 games at home, 19 games on the road. That is a 7-game difference. That is significant. That is significant when you consider they've played 31 games and they've played 7 more on the road than at home. That is a harbinger, you would think, of good things for this team.
If you had taken, before the season, 31 games in, 31, 11-20, 31?
Sure, yes.
Is that, I'm comms major, but if you had said 31 games in, there will be whispers of chasing the 8th seed. Maybe not that they're going to make it, but the fact that it's even a conversation,
mm-hmm.
you'd take that, right?
Sure. Of course.
Like, that's versus they've won 3 games and the number one pick is all but assured.
Wait, say that again. Hold on. You just lost me.
You said, of course, with the alternate reality being they could be at 3 wins with the number one pick all but assured.
You mean like 3 wins all year long?
Yes.
Versus fighting for the 8 spot?
Yes.
Selfishly, because they've invested so much in the draft over the last few years and because I know where this fan base is, even though I feel like it is not the logical move, I have moved over for the first time this year. It's the first time I felt this way, that I would rather see them be competitive than be assured of the number 1 pick.
You guys are playing well, and Zebo, obviously.
I understand.
Helped, but
Zebo, George Hill, who is playing well, and if he can put a few more games like this together, you'll start to see a market hopefully open up for him.
The phone lines aren't locked. They're full, 916. Stop telling me how to do my job.
All right, I should probably get into
but
this.
But they act like I've kept the phones locked for the whole show before.
Kyle, every year since I've been every year since I've been on the radio, I have asked this question. So longtime listeners are going to have an advantage here. It's a very difficult question that will probably trail into the next segment. But it's one of my favorite trivia questions. When I was a little kid, I used to cut out articles from the Bee in Sports Illustrated. And that was I made a wallpaper in my room. I had an entire wall of my bedroom as a kid at my parents' house that was nothing but articles and clips and stuff. I looked like one of those kidnapper conspiracy theory people. Well, for the longest time, I had the front page of the Sacramento Bee clipped and posted on my wall the night after the Kings' very first game at home versus the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, they lost that game to the Clippers. I want you to tell me, and this is where it's assured we have a Kings historian or a huge fan, because I don't think he can Google this. What was the headline? It was a two-word, semi-alliterative headline. What was the headline above the picture on the front page of the Sacramento Bee the day after their first game as the Sacramento Kings against the Clippers at home? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'll go ahead and clear out these phone lines. If we get a guess correct here, I will be shocked. Caller, who's this?
This is Carlos.
Carlos, did you hear the question while I was talking?
I did not.
The day after the Kings' first game against the Clippers, it was a home game. I'm talking in 1985. The Sacramento Bee posted this headline after they lost to the Clippers. What was the two-word headline?
I did not know the answer, so I'm
going. Okay, nope, don't care. Who's this? Caller, who's this?
Unscreened phone call.
Caller, who's
Unreal.
This?
Unreal.
And they already, wow, somebody on the text line already nailed it. That's crazy. Somebody on the text line has it absolutely correct.
Wow.
Caller, who's this?
Hey, good morning. It's Alan. How are you?
Alan, I'm great. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Alan's a quality
Merry
tweeter.
Merry Christmas to you. I didn't have that on my wall, so I think, well, it's not court is in session. That's too many words, so I have no idea.
It's two words, but that's not a bad guess. Line's open now. Don't be scared at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Line's wide open. We have one call, and I think I scared everybody. Caller, who's this?
Mike.
Mike, where are you calling from?
Orangeville.
Mike, do you know what the two-word headline was above the caption picture of the Kings' first loss to the Clippers opening night 1985 in the Sacramento Bee?
1985?
Yeah.
I thought it was this year.
No, it was after the first game.
First game ever.
I think we got time for one more.
Come on.
Caller, who's this?
Marlon Mallow.
Oh, Marlin, he's got it.
Marlin, I feel good about this. Marlin, do you know what the headline was?
Coronation Clips.
Coronation Clips is absolutely correct. That is excellent knowledge. Marlin, can I ask you, just the tickets are yours. There's no wrong answer here. Can I ask you, how did you know that answer?
I was at the first game, and I looked at the paper the very next morning, and I just remembered that Coronation Clips. I remember Derek Smith went off on us.
That's absolutely correct.
Marlin!
That is absolutely That's why I do these questions, because I know Marlin. Marlin, you're going to get great enjoyment out of going to this game Saturday night. Am I correct?
Absolutely. I'm a season ticket holder, but I'll enjoy those tickets also.
I'm okay with that. I'm 100% okay. Now he can take two more. I'm fine
with
that.
Don't take a Spurs fan.
Yeah, you're not taking a Spurs fan, are you?
No, absolutely not.
Atta baby. All right. It's a pair of tickets to go see the Kings and San Antonio December 23rd. More info at khtk.com. Marlin, I will put you on hold, not hang up on you this time. Marlin, Merry Christmas. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. There you go. I honestly thought that would take away every year. So just remember that question. And if I'm still employed next year, I will ask that question once again. Kyle, we will take a break right now. Am I correct? When we come back, we will get Kyle's walking away from the board. I'm scared to go to break. All right, we'll get back to what's on tap. That's coming up in 3 minutes right here on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, no Thursday night football game tonight. Also, the Kings are off. So what is on tap? Nothing. There's nothing going on today.
That's Sharks-Canucks tonight.
That's a great point. Sharks-Canucks. You can hear the puck drop at 7:30.
Dan Ruzanowski.
Love Dan Ruzanowski. We have him on the show. We haven't been on the show this
year. Hey,
Shots,
it's
I love Dan.
Great.
There is a lot of stuff going on today. In just over an hour at City Hall, Kevin Nagel, Mayor Daryl Steinberg, and the rest of the Republic team will talk for the first time in a while as the MLS has announced. They will not announce the second expansion team behind Nashville until sometime in the new year, which I think, as I said before, is purposely ambiguous. That is going to be I think we're going to find out a lot. You're not going to find out we're the team. You're not going to find out we're not the team. You're not going to get a decision at 10 a.m. That's not what the press conference is for. I think you're going to get a little bit of insight as to what's been going on and what is in front of them. That is just my semi-educated guess, but you know, not that educated. The referees in basketball, the National Basketball Referees Association, are increasingly dissatisfied working with the NBA on contentious issues between officials and players. So their attorney called up the Players Association Executive Director Michelle Roberts, who is excellent, and they're going to all get together. There's been a run of ejections and technicals involving star players such as LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Durant has been ejected three times this season. Courtney Kirkland, you'll remember, was suspended for a week for his part in a headbutting incident with Golden State's Sean Livingston. Let's see. From the 916. Oh, Kyle, this is a good one. Quick question. Is tomorrow going to be dumb Christmas ideas again? Big weekend of football coming up. I could care less about top five cheeses you like. Well, my answer first off would be, if you could care less, that means that you care somewhat. And so I appreciate you saying
exactly.
That.
Thank you.
I think what the texter was saying was that they want many, many more Christmas ideas. Yeah, it's a big weekend of football coming up. We'll obviously cover that. But we're also going to have some fun tomorrow, as we've been having all week long. And hey, wait, there's more. Next week will be the final week of the year, and we will again be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we're going to dig up. Now, we'll be here. We're not running best ofs. We'll be here working, but we will dig up some best ofs in the sense of some moments that you guys have requested throughout the year to be replayed. A couple I have in mind actually both involve Katie.
Shocking.
Not shocking, and that's a little personal. When Dave Yeager came on and we convinced Katie that Coach Yeager had been involved in a GQ photo shoot. And I think we got to find that clip. And when Sean Salisbury and I convinced Katie that we were having an on-air fight on her last day, which is one of my favorite clips over the last few years, because Katie, God bless her, is just such a sweet person and truly truly is extremely gullible, gullible in the sense that she believes in people and takes them at face value. Very easy to pull pranks on.
I need to hear about this injury that you've been teasing literally the entire show.
I'm glad you said that. I was just about to get to it because this is a real, real thing. Gallinari. Thank you. Danilo Gallinari is out indefinitely. He is out indefinitely with a torn butt. Like, I'm not... This isn't a Carmichael Dave immature joke time. He has already missed a month since first injuring his glute November 5th. And apparently the glute is not activating. So now
I hate when the glute doesn't activate.
You got to activate the glutes, dude. Now another is going to sideline him indefinitely in the second game back December 9th. Gallinari suffered the same injury. Quote from NBA.com, Danilo Gallinari will be held out of further game action while recovering from an injury of his gluteus maximus. He suffered a contusion to the left glute muscle, and subsequent imaging revealed a partial tear. The medical team will continue the rehabilitation process, which I'm sure is super comfortable and not weird or awkward at all, and intend to reevaluate the injury in January. Now, I'm no doctor, but I just find myself wondering what rehabilitating a butt. Can we just be honest?
Squats and lunges and stuff, I'm sure.
You think?
Yeah. There's exercises and stuff you could do. Anybody who's ever, done any kind of strenuous hiking or walking or running or whatever knows what a sore butt feels like.
Sure.
I can't imagine a torn butt. It's got to be awful.
He tore it, dude.
He tore his butt muscle.
He has a torn
left
butt cheek.
You can't stand. You can't, sit.
You use your butt for a lot of things.
Everything.
Well, I mean, I don't eat with my butt. But
a lot of things, not everything.
Well, you said everything, didn't you?
Did I?
Yes, I said a lot of things.
I meant physical, motions.
I said a lot of things. You said everything.
Everything.
No.
Eating.
I don't brush my teeth with my butt. But he is.
I have never run the board with my butt.
He tore his left butt cheek. Oh, God. There's only one other injury I can think of. I know that exists. I've heard this. I know this exists. There's only one other injury I can think of for a guy that I would hate. More, and it involves breaking an appendage, and this is a real thing.
Nope.
Finally, before we go, Kobe Bryant's jersey ceremony Monday was the hottest ticket of the NBA season as he had both 8 and 24 hung up in the rafters. For those in the building, the excitement of the night was enough to drive merchandise sales through the roof. When they combined both in-house jersey sales and online figures, Kyle, would you like to know what AEG announced the amount of jerseys in cash sold for Kobe Bryant jerseys?
$8.24 million.
You're close. You're on the right track. $824,000 worth of Kobe Bryant jerseys.
No.
Story right in front of me. Were sold on Monday.
They got to 824K and gave the rest for free, or they didn't get there and bought themselves.
I tend to get to
824.
Right. Kyle, I haven't gotten you anything for Christmas yet, but I will start the Christmas gifts right now with the 11th caller.
Yes. No, you know what? Can I give the caller?
Go ahead.
Fifth caller.
You're going to give the caller a fifth?
Yes. True. Of whatever they want.
Pair of free floats from the True Rest Float Spa. Fifth caller at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. More info at KHDK.com. For Matt Barrows.
I'm answering the fifth call with my butt.
For Kevin Mastodon. You haven't torn your butt
torn.
Yet. More, I'm sure Damien and Jason will break down the Danilo Gallinari.
Oh, for sure.
Ripped butt cheek story. That's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Last day of the week. Last show before Christmas. We're going to have a lot of fun. Tune in at 6 a.m. right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.